Y'all just stay on your feet for a second. Robin, can you lay down a beat for us? Just any kind of beat? We're just going to dance for a second and say thank you for the rain. And this is a big thank you for all the rain we've had. Yeah, right here. We got it going. And another big hand for our musicians. Yeah. Woo. When it gets a little closer to time for that baby to show up, we're going to have another big blessing. Before I continue today, I just want to say a tremendous thank you to a team of people that yesterday brought the most beautiful service to this community as we welcomed the family and friends of one of my high school friends who passed away earlier this month. We did the memorial service here, and this family has been in my life since I was in the eighth grade. And for a kid that traveled around all of her youth and didn't have a permanent home until the seventh grade, to have a childhood friend like that is everything. And so we had this service here yesterday, and it was just beautiful. And one of the things that made it so beautiful, and it was commented upon by everyone who was here, was the service that our volunteers and staff brought to make sure that this family was taken care of. And so I especially want to thank today Gene Newsom, Jan McGowan, Molly Steele, Nick Giovacchini, Ben Pearson, Aida Pearson, our volunteer coordinator, and Leah McCarn, with whom I could not do my job as well as I do. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, not only for the service to this church, but for the service to me as I grieved as well. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's who we are. That's who we are. And, very grateful. So today's lesson's about gratitude. Easy. We've talked about gratitude in so many ways over years. And I don't think we can ever get too much of talking about gratitude, because it's something that we have to be reminded of all the time until it becomes a habit. And I will say to you what I said in my summary about this talk is that gratitude is not something that is the afterthought when something good has happened. That's what we think of traditionally as gratitude. Something good happens, we say thank you. We're taught good manners when we're children, hopefully. Gratitude is something that comes before a thing. Gratitude is it's an element that we live with all the time in order to experience the fullness of our spiritual life. And we also trick ourselves into thinking that it has to be something big in order for us to be grateful. It doesn't. This is going to sound, it's going to sound gross, but yesterday when I was on my way here, I saw, unfortunately at this time of year and till the end of the year, I saw a dead deer on the side of the road. On my way here yesterday, on my way here today, buzzards had taken care of it. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for our black vultures that take care of carrion. They have a role in the cycle of life. Yay. I'm grateful that we had rain. I'm grateful that when I walked out on my porch today, my glasses fogged up because it was the good kind of humid. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, great. I'm grateful that yesterday we were all able to embrace the bittersweetness of having a joyful reunion with each other, many of us from high school, and also be mourning at the same time and seeing how those laughter and tears mingle. We've talked about that before. And yesterday was a beautiful example of that. We even had times when we were crying on each other's shoulders and laughing at the same time. Your heart can't get much bigger than that. But in order for us to practice gratitude, we have to understand that we're not being grateful to a being. I'm going to throw this out to you. I had to incorporate this reading today because it's important if we're going to carry gratitude with us to understand who God is. The never-ending search for what God is. Some of you have seen that I've reposted the writings of Reverend Jim Rigby, a Presbyterian minister who was in Austin for a very long time. He wrote an article called God, a Warning Label. He said, yesterday someone took objection to my statement that our ideas about God are hypothetical. And they said, how does a Christian clergy member see God as a hypothetical being? That's a fair question. In our culture, clergy are expected to speak only in the cliches of our own sect. I love that. We are expected to pretend to have answers to the great mysteries of life. We are expected to never utter the four forbidden words, I do not know. The problem is, of course, that such certainty requires us to pretend to be magic people. I hope that if you ever thought that, I have dispensed with that illusion. Such mock religion was condemned by Jesus as hypocrisy. My understanding is that the word hypocrisy wasn't originally an insult. It referred to the mask the Greek actors wore. Jesus continually condemned donning a mask to hide our mixed motives and uncertainty. As embarrassing as it can be to remain authentically human, it is even harder to go through a radical transformation of mind and heart as if we are pretending to be something we're not. My answer to the earnest questioner was as follows. Stay with me on this. This is so, it's the kind of thing that I think, ooh, I wish I'd said that, because he said it so beautifully. I believe there is a ground of our being, but I also believe our concrete ideas about it are all hypothetical, and I would even say mythical. Not mystical, mythical. Whatever is the source of space and time cannot be a being within space and time. Any human definition of the infinite is a contradiction in terms. Now, my children tried to trap me this week by offering me classical theological arguments for the omnipotence of God. So one of them, and I will keep their names to myself, offered me the Epicurean argument about the omniscience and omnipotence of God. And I said, well, that assumes a traditional explanation of who God is. And this son said, well, just forget all that for a minute. I said, no, I will not. I'm afraid I can't answer your question in that sense, because that implies an anthropomorphizing of God, which of course would have been what an Epicurean philosopher or theologian would have argued. I mean, it's like, I go back to the argument of transubstantiation when you take the elements of communion. Radbertus and Ratramnus. Remember those two names? No, you don't have to really. Radbertus and Ratramnus had different sides of the argument of whether or not the bread and the wine were actually became the body of Jesus. Made my head hurt in ministerial school to try to figure that out. I mean, I understood the argument, but in the end, it's, well, we'll talk about that another day. I continue. In other words, we know we emerge from what is to us a deep mystery, but exactly what that mystery is lies beyond us. The word God can be helpful as a symbol for whatever is too deep, too vast, or too mysterious for us to understand. But the word becomes a poison when we use it as a scientific explanation or a moral justification. It can be helpful to have a poetic symbol that reminds us of our transcendental roots, but it is a very bad thing to believe we have captured that transcendence in a concrete image named God. It can be helpful to have a word that reminds us we are born out of infinity, but it is a very bad thing to believe we have defined that infinity as a limited image called God. It can be helpful to have a symbol reminding us that we are born of mystery, but it is a very bad thing to believe we have understood that mystery as a magic being named God. If we seek love and truth, God is a very dangerous word. Rain. Boy. Religious charlatans use the word God to magnify their own egoistic claims. Fyodor Dostoevsky used the word in an expansive and poetic sense. Love all God's creations, both the whole and every grain of sand. Love every leaf, every ray of light. Love the animals, love the plants, love each separate thing. If thou love each thing, then thou wilt perceive the mystery of God in all. And when thou perceive this, then thou wilt thenceforward grow every day to a fuller understanding of it. The symbol God can be a trigger word for a fearful and egoistic trance, or it can be a love poem to all being. The important thing is not whether one believes in a being named God, but whether one is in touch with the depth, interconnectedness, and reverence to which the symbol refers. So do you see how gratitude begins to kind of shift its focus and its depth when we are thinking of it as a practice that honors that interconnectedness and not gratitude to a being for giving us a blessing? I want to make that very subtle distinction. If you limit God by saying, "Oh, thank you, God, that you gave me this new car," you put God in a little box called the car giver. If you say, "Thank you, God, for healing me of this disease, injury, whatever," then you've made God the healing being. If this makes you a little uncomfortable, it's working. Okay? Anytime you start to put God here, you're missing God. You see? For us not to have a being that we can cling to can feel a little frightening. It requires us to embrace a mystery that we can't quite get our hands around. We can't contain it, and that's a good thing. It allows us to begin to see the presence of life itself everywhere, in death, in decay, in tragedy, and in new birth, and in the greening of things and in what we would call miracles. We have to know the presence of life in all of this. And it is a muscle, a spiritual muscle that we have to exercise continually. Otherwise, we begin to contract God again. So all of you sitting here in this room, you've taken God away from being old white guy in the sky. Hopefully you've taken God away from he. You have taken God away from she. Let's take God away from it, shall we? I know I've spoken about this before, but I'm still fascinated by the ability that we have to look back in time into the universe. And just that image alone should be enough to convince you that God can't be contained. At the other end, look at something under a microscope, a single-celled organism that has its own purpose, that has its own function, that has its own life, that doesn't have a brain like we think of a brain, and yet it does what it's supposed to do. Try to contain that. A friend of mine had an echocardiogram earlier this week, first time he'd ever seen the image of his heart on an ultrasound screen. And you think, if you've ever seen that, how many of you have had an echo and seen your own heart? You realize the relentless electrical impulses that keep that thing going right now. Isn't it wonderful we don't have to think about, like, okay, heart, go ahead and beat. Okay, lungs, go ahead and breathe. Because we've got muscles in our body that are involuntary that do the work for us because we are created by life. And so when we begin to expand our definition of life, ergo God, when we begin to expand that great mystery that has no limits to it, can we not be in a sense of awe and wonder all the time? All the time. When we can look at a rock, look at these stones right here on the platform. We don't think of them as animate beings, but they're very, very slow molecules that bind themselves together to be a rock. Can you contain God in that idea? I don't think so. So if we do what Jim Rigby says, be in touch with the depth, interconnectedness, and reverence to which the symbol of God refers, then gratitude is one of the ways we do that. One of the biggest ways we do that, and I still cannot, after all these years of studying prosperity and abundance and gratitude, and I still can't explain why it is that being grateful opens us up to more. I don't know what shifts in our brain. I don't know what shifts in our vision, in our ears, in our awareness, but it does. When we're grateful, we see more to be grateful about. When we give thanks for what we have more with which to live. So if you're having a day in which it's difficult to be grateful for those electrical impulses and involuntary muscles that keep your body alive. Start there. Start with the fact that for today, you have enough. For today. I remember going through ministerial school, going through a divorce in ministerial school. I won't even. Working at Silent Unity, living in a one-bedroom apartment above a store in downtown Lee's Summit, which is about as big as this room, and not knowing if I was going to have enough to pay the rent. And one of my friends said very wisely, "Do you have enough for today? Have you got food for today? You got gas in your car? Do you need some money for gas in your car? I can give you 10 bucks," which used to be a lot of money for gas, but that's for another day. Do you have a place to sleep? Do you have a place to be sheltered from the elements? Do you have enough for today? Yeah, that's all you need to worry about. I mean, Jesus said that too, right? By the way, tomorrow's got enough trouble for itself. Just think about today. And then the next day, if you want to pick up that worry stone again and go, do you have enough for today? Why, yes, I do. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, divine being who I can't define. Thank you very much. I have enough for today. So every day, we train ourselves to be grateful, 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 grateful. Wet pants for church, you know. Be grateful, grateful, grateful until gratitude begins to speak itself in us. Until the habit has become one that we don't have to consciously shift our mind to be grateful. We are living in that attitude. We're living in that sense of being grateful. And I promise you, I don't promise lightly, I promise you that your eyes will be open to blessings that might have been there all along that you couldn't see, but your grateful heart opened up that vision. It opened it up. It will show you places where you can be generous. It will show you places, not just with your money or your time, but with your attention, with your love, with your positive regard for other human beings. And some days when the weight of the world really gets heavy, as it is wont to do, that attitude where we are giving thanks for this thing and this thing and this thing and even those things that weigh us down because they open our eyes. It's vital to our spiritual health. It's absolutely necessary. So it would be easy for me to stand here on a Sunday morning and say, la, 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 give thanks for everything. That's a good message. It's a good one. It works. But I'm talking about digging down deep. If you're giving thanks to a who, your idea of God has gotten too small. Even if you're giving thanks to an idea, God is too small. Give thanks that everything is connected. Give thanks that there's a mystery we don't get yet. Give thanks that your concept of God is eternally expanding. Because in the end, don't we have to see life all the time? I mean, let's look at the alternative. The alternative is to start labeling things, oh, this is God stuff, but this stuff over here is not. If you do that, you set up a limiting wall right there between you and life. This is hardcore boot camp in the mud spirituality. That sounds really kind of grim, doesn't it? That's not the way I meant for that to sound. But again, it's that paradox, isn't it? And oh, beloved, you're going to have days just like I do when you go, uh-uh, not feeling grateful today, and not doing it, I'm not being grateful. Bye. Go ahead. Because the thing that we call God doesn't care. Really. God doesn't care whether we're grateful or not, because that would assume that God has feelings like that. See? So on the days you just do not want to be grateful, I want to sit over here in a tight little corner, constricted and contracted, not being grateful. Because this is what you're doing to yourself. Not very comfortable, not very life-giving, not helpful, not the best use of your resources. If you need to get under the blanket for a day or half a day and just go, no, I don't want life today, go ahead. Just know that the sun is still out there, even when we can't see it. How many metaphors do I need for this? I think y'all get the message, don't you? Sun will come up tomorrow. You know, you have to know. You have to know that anytime we limit our spiritual gifts, our spiritual attributes, our spiritual powers that you see here on these walls, anytime we limit that, we're only limiting ourselves and our enjoyment and our engagement with life. So today, easy to say, just be grateful and you will experience prosperity in your life. It's true. But let's look at who, what, why, how. Gratitude is an integral part of us and necessary for our connectedness to life. All that stuff out there in the stars, same elements in our bodies. All the things that lie beneath our feet that we don't see when we go out there in the yard, all the way down to that burning core in the earth, that flaming, all of that, that's us. Those people we don't like, we're connected. Like it or not. What have you got to lose by loving? Notice I didn't say, what have you got to lose by liking? That's different. Loving is something that is, it's a duty, it's a responsibility, it's who we are, it's what we do. Loving. Yes, hold accountable. Yes, stay out of the fray where you can. Jump into the fray where you're moved to. But love, which is another topic we could tackle in the same way we've tackled gratitude today, vital, vital to our spiritual life. So, here's your assignment for the week. There's a chance that you're going to have a moment, or 17 this week, in which you're going, ugh, wasn't expecting that. Ugh, I don't feel it. I'm not feeling it today. Ugh, I don't feel good today. This person, ugh. You might have those moments. Go ahead, have them. Shift. Shift into gratitude, my friends. I know it sounds like a panacea, something to make us feel good, but if gratitude is really a practice for you, it sometimes works. But it lives here. It's part of our skin. It takes up a huge place in our hearts. It's up to you to let it come out, to let it be. Okay? Okay? Okay. Okay, good. Yeah. I'm so bossy. I'm grateful for all of you so much. So much. Everything that you are, everything that I see, but especially everything I don't see, that is the heart of you that speaks without your words, that shines through your eyes, that surrounds you with this aura. Even on our bad days, that's who we are. I see you, and I know you see me, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And the other people I didn't mention earlier today, this tech team back here, dang. They had less than 10 days notice to get that service together for yesterday. These guys rock. And they bring quality to you and to so many. So, beloved, as we're preparing for the meditation, why don't you go ahead and just think about five things that you can be grateful for. Just five things. You can just hold them in your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just hold them in your hand. Start there. It might start with a chair to sit in church. It might start with the person on either side of you. And notice when you start counting those things, when you turn your attention to those things, notice how your heart feels. Notice how your body relaxes a little bit more. Notice how your breath takes on a different quality. Just continue to breathe into that, and you are not limited to five things. As a matter of fact, if you would like, take these few moments of meditation to let those things for which you are grateful rise to the surface. They'll inform you. They'll surprise you. They'll delight you. They might bring tears to your eyes because you hadn't thought about being grateful for that particular thing in a while. You might think of something difficult that you found the blessing in. That gratitude you're experiencing right now, it is imprinting itself upon your heart to make you more capable of gratitude, to make gratitude more meaningful to you, to open your eyes and ears and attention to the things that you might have missed. And in the end, beloved, if the notion of God has become more hypothetical, mystical, mysterious, indefinable to you, then your heart and your mind are ready for the challenge of expansion. notice that judgment is suspended into the wordless, and that labels don't matter as much. And breathe. And for life itself and everything that that word encompasses, we are grateful. And so it is. Amen.